Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mixed martial arts and boxing fans, it's time for Fighter's Fury, Inside the Heart of a Champion, with your hosts, Brendan Tobin, Seema, and Tommy Guns. It's time for Fighter's Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome on in. It is Fighter's Fury here on 790, The Ticket. We obviously start with the main event from last night. Chris Paul versus Rajon Rondo. That was a sneaky counter uppercut from CP3, I gotta say. And if the rumors are true, I haven't seen it on the video. I mean, I'm trying to get every angle possible. Is it true that Rondo spit on him? Because that would be the least surprising thing ever if Chris Paul got spit on by Rajon Rondo. And here's the other thing. I was just texting with my boy Josh before the show today. And that is an interesting dynamic that has to go down there, because LeBron James is BFF with Chris Paul. They are friends. It is the Banana Boat crew. It is him, Wade, Carmelo, and CP3. So I just want to know, when you have a guy in Rajon Rondo who has been a part of every rivalry regarding LeBron James, they seemingly have been mortal enemies their entire career. One time, Rajon Rondo stood next to a fan with the thumbs up. The fan was wearing a shirt that says, LeBron is a bitch. How does that go? Because the teammates now. But they've been enemies the entire time. So do you go with the actual friend who seemingly just gave Rondo the business after getting spit on by your teammate? Or do you actually have to side with evil there? You have to side with Rondo. I don't know. But Rondo, he got kind of the finger mush, which is always a good move. You know, CP3 gave him the finger mush in the eye. He comes back, gives him the straight left right into CP3's grill. They both kind of skirmish, and it seems like in the fracas of it all, CP3 gives him the old uppercut piece right into the face, makes Rondo bleed a little bit. Suspension's looming. For NBA standards, a really good fight. Normally, punches, one are never thrown, and two never land. So the fact that both of those things happened, A-plus fight. Because you got to realize what the standard we're going with. Normally, it's hold me back, bro, stare down city. But in this case, we actually got a little bit of contact. Here's the thing that I find funny. Here's what's going to be funny about this upcoming fight. And I'll tie this into mixed martial arts. So, you know the UFC has been getting a whole lot of bleep for promoting the Conor-Khabib fight in the wrong way. Using the bus footage that, if there were a rematch, they would obviously use the quote-unquote brawl footage to promote views, to get more people to watch. And everybody says, well, the UFC will go to no depths to promote a fight. They will show the dark side, the underbelly of fight promotion. They will not just let the fight stand on its own. Bet your ass, right now, whatever promotion, whatever suspension is laid down by Adam Silver, whatever it is, bet your ass that they are going to put CP3 versus Rondo, punches thrown, on a loop before the next matchup between Lakers and Rockets. Bet your ass. You're going to see that nonstop. And if there's a playoff matchup between the two teams, nonstop in every promo. You won't see a LeBron dunk. You won't see a Harden 3. You won't see a Clint Capella dunk. You won't see an Ingram shot. None of that. It will be nonstop CP3 Rondo throwing haymakers at each other to promote that matchup. And you can guarantee this. Take this to the bank. It will be the highest rated NBA game of the year. No doubt. But I just want all of the people the mainstream media, if you will, every one of you who sat on the table saying, I can't believe the UFC would promote a fight with extracurricular activities. I just want you all to remember how you thought about the UFC using outside footage and criminal activity to promote their fight. Remember your opinion there before giving it regarding the next matchup between Rockets Lakers. Because I guarantee you, the NBA will of course use that footage to promote the bout. They should. And they will get the highest ratings of any NBA game this year. They should. And it will be all anybody's talking about on Monday. We should. But just remember that. Don't be a double standard Debbie Downer when it comes to NBA versus UFC. Just remember, because a simple little brawl started the Malice at the Palace. So don't be that guy who says, oh, I can't believe the UFC would use a post-fight brawl to promote a fight. I can't believe they would use Cormier versus Jones to promote a fight. I can't believe they would use Connor throwing a dolly through a bus to promote a fight. Give me CP3 versus Rondo uppercuts. Nonstop. Bruh. Bruh, bruh, bruh. That's what I think in the promo meetings. It's just everybody going, give me that uppercut again, bruh. Slow-mo. Phantom cam. Bruh, bruh, bruh. Give it to me. But we have this beautiful assist from Chris Paul to James Harden. No, uppercut. Bruh, bruh, bruh. Give me that. Record ratings. That's what I want. That's how I picture Silver. Silver's just in there. Just in a wife beat. He's pumping iron. And he's like, roll that back. Give me that. Phantom cam. Slow-mo. Remember that. I just think it's going to be funny. Because everybody's like, well, the UFC, they deserve some blame in this Conor McGregor-Khabib brawl for how they used that footage in the promotion of this fight. Those bastards. Can I see that CP3 Rondo fight again, please? Please, can we roll that back? Get up. Get up! It'll be on. Get up! Cowherd. First take. Skip versus Shannon. All of it. Mainstream. Tobin Leroy and Beast. We'll be talking about it. Zaslow, Romberg, and Amber. We'll be talking about it. Everyone's going to be talking about it. Don't clutch your pearls. Don't act like you don't like fights. That's basically what it's coming down to. Don't act like you don't like fights. Don't act like you don't like chaos. You love it. You all tune into the upcoming Lakers-Rockets matchup, and we move on. Okay? That's ultimately what I want to come down to. Let's not act like we don't love it. You know what I mean? Like, in sports, we love this stuff. We love the extracurricular activities. We love everything. We love coloring outside the lines with this stuff when it gets a little bit crazy. Conor McGregor gets wild, throws water bottles, throws a dolly. Khabib jumps over the cage. Oh, the UFC has to look at themselves in the mirror for allowing this to happen. Oh, really? They have to look at themselves in the mirror for making it the biggest pay-per-view in their company's history. Okay. Does Adam Silver have to look at himself in the mirror? In that tall-ass mirror? I imagine Adam Silver has a full-length mirror. I imagine he goes with that, and he has a butler to tailor his suits before every meeting. Hello, Mr. Silver. How about that fight last night? Put that on, Jeeves. Woo! Look at that angle. I love it. Should we show all these sick assists that LeBron had? Nah. Forget that. Let's promote the fight within the fight. Oh, we have footage of Rondo spinning on CP3? Yeah, show that down. Hey, in fact, let's do that thing where we make everything black and white except for Rajon Rondo's loogie. Put that in slow-mo Phantom Cam. Oh, by the way, we have footage that Khabib and Connor, we know what started the ball. No! No. Do not show that. It's too much. That goes against ethics to promote a fight. You, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Promoting people fighting in a cage? No. Nay. We shan't be doing that. What? You want us to show stuff outside of the cage to promote a... No. That would be crossing the line. But if it was an NBA game, bet your ass it's all good. Anyway, we got a lot of other stuff to get to. I just found that funny from last night. Everybody's going to lap this up. Like Ezekiel Elliott. Feed me more. Or I guess in this case, Harden does that celebration too. Whatever. Or does he do the stir? He stirs, Zeke eats. What a terrible way to end this segment. Anyway, we'll roll on with the rest of the show after this.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Fighters Fury rolls on. Seema's now in studio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Seema. It's good to have you here, man.
Great to be back.
I just got off my little soapbox with the whole NBA UFC thing. Well, did you catch any of the highlights of the so-called brawl?
I did. How can you avoid it with ESPN sending you like updates, must see?
I know, like nonstop. I got this angle and this angle.
But what a horrible thing, fighting.
I know, man.
So bad for sports, but yet everybody uses it.
I know, it's crazy.
As the anchor to get you to tune in.
Yeah, but you know the NBA, they got better standards than the UFC. There's no shot they're going to use that before the next game, right?
What'd you wink for?
There's just no shot. There's no way they do.
Why are you winking? Are you twitching?
Oh, man. I just think it's funny. Like, all this talk. I mean, it was such a talking point after UFC 229. Well, the UFC dug their own grave here. Brr. Excuse me. We have this coming up on ESPN on Friday night. Rockets Lakers 2.
You great. Remember the brawl. It'd be big. It'll be James Earl Jones' voice.
Yeah. Bad blood. Hey, why is Michael Buffer taking over as PA announcer tonight?
There you go.
Oh, man.
How are you talking?
So I want to get your thoughts on this. The big news this week in the fight world was the signing of Canelo Alvarez to DAZN. He's going to debut in December against Rocky Fielding at 168 pounds. Huge sized matchup, although you'd think Canelo has the huge talent advantage there. Still a big size advantage for Rocky, but monster deal. 11 fights, big guarantee, $325 million. Actually, it even might be more than that. I feel like I'm going to, I think it might be 354. Either way, it's a huge, huge deal, and... It's interesting because he is the biggest pay-per-view guarantee right now in the sport of boxing, and he's not going with that platform anymore. They're going subscription-based. Are you surprised to hear the news?
I'm surprised that everybody thinks that DAZN is going to be around for 11 more fights.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's going to burn out quick, kind of like PBC?
I'm sitting back watching. I will be shocked if they're around for that long. I just think... Execution-wise, I just don't see it.
It's a $365 million deal.
Oh, $365.
Excuse me.
Yes, you shorted him $40
Sorry.
Million. Come on.
But the interesting thing, yeah, I just think it is, they're spilling a lot of money. They have this relationship with Eddie Hearn, who is Anthony Joshua's promoter. He's kind of coming over here to America. He's trying to, he's had a lot of success in England, a lot of success. You know, part of that you could definitely say is the fan base over there is just more thirsty for it. Part of that is he has the biggest star in Anthony Joshua over in Britain, but he's trying to bring that over here. They had a big card in Boston last night. Really, really entertaining card. You know, Conor McGregor was in attendance, which was huge for them. He was there to watch Katie Taylor. So, you know, they have exciting fighters. It does seem like the place...
He was in Boston to promote that whiskey.
Well, he's promoting, yes, yeah. that too. It was actually a cool thing he did. He gave, I think he gave like 11 firefighters World Series tickets and autographed whiskey.
Really?
He's living his life, man. Like, Conor McGregor is like, he's not taking this loss very hard. He is on the whiskey tour. He was at the Cowboys game last week.
Yeah.
Terribly throwing a football.
Yeah, but did you see every touchdown celebration?
Everybody was doing it.
What is that, the bully walker?
Well, that's the thing, man. The one thing you could say from UFC to boxing is people just don't. They don't hold you down on these losses as much as everybody else, especially if you're like Conor. If you just go and live your life, you don't go like Ronda Rousey and just go turtle up and hide from mm-hmm. people. He's just like, all right, whatever. Loss. Got my $50 million. Let's go promote my whiskey. And you know, I guess you could take that one way or the other, but he has been to such heights that nobody has been to in the sport. So I guess, big deal to him. I lost to a guy who was a terrible matchup too. So we'll see. Is the rematch going to happen? I don't know. I'm sure eventually it will happen. Doesn't seem.
Once Connor learns how to wrestle, or at least.
I don't even want him to learn. I don't want him to learn how to wrestle.
No, I want him to learn how to keep the fight standing. I don't want him to wrestle.
I want him to go in there trying to take his head off. Like, when I was hearing the interviews with his coach afterwards, they're like, yeah, we went too defensive. I was like, why? Not a defensive guy. He's a guy who goes out there. Maybe the fight will end quicker, but at least you went down your way. Yeah. I don't know. But either way, he's not one of these guys who seems – he's not even taking this seemingly as bad as the Nate Diaz loss. The Nate Diaz loss, remember, Conor kind of just went away.
Well, he was also on the rise. So the trajectory was, in his mind, could have been impacted. The mystique of the Conor McGregor phenomenon could have been impacted. Fortunately for him, it wasn't in the eyes of fans. So I think that's why he took that loss a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's there. He's reached the pinnacle of the sport. He's signed these mega deals, not just with the UFC, and so it's more tolerable. And I think what's that saying? It's not the challenge; it's how you respond to the challenge.
Right, and it's also the Nate Diaz fight was rough because nobody thought Nate Diaz was going to win that fight. Like, yeah.
He shouldn't have won.
Well, if we really look back on it, it was one of the fights where people thought, for once, Conor was really going to dust his opponent. You know, a lot of the times, a lot of people go into these fights thinking, no, this is where he's a terrible matchup. This is where he's going to fall short. This is where he's vulnerable. With the Nate Diaz fight, they gave him that fight because Nate Diaz was a 500 fighter, basically, and Conor should have walked through him.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Because he gassed.
Gassed out, yep. So that's going on right now. As far as this deal with DAZN, though, with Canelo, so you think this is kind of in the realm of like PBC, like they got money to burn. It's going to be a sparking 2 years and then it's going to flame out.
I think in my opinion, I don't necessarily think it's going to spark out. I think that they're going to. What it seems like their model is, let's sign a bunch of guys to contracts.
Yep.
Let's build value to the brand. And let's be able to sell it to a major network as a plug-and-play solution for combat sports.
Interesting.
That's what it appears like to me from outside.
They'll pass it off. You think?
I think so. I think they'll create value, and they'll sell it to a platform that already has built-in eyes and is not trying to establish a new subscriber base. Obviously, if they can create value, build a subscriber base, have value-added contracts of a variety of different fighters, and then turn and sell that to an existing cable platform that is looking to grow their subscription-based network through digital application,
mm-hmm.
then I think it's a win-win scenario for everybody. But I don't see them being self-contained without a cable-based or broadcast-based platform and looking long term.
Well, like it's interesting that you go and you go get the people that are most recognizable in the sport. You have Anthony Joshua and you have Canelo Alvarez, but I just to your point, I do wonder how is that sustainable from the standpoint of these guys are getting paid pay-per-view money, but the subscribe, like, it's $10 a month to subscribe. So if you are a Canelo fan, realistically, you could just, or an Anthony Joshua fan. So you're going to get four fights. So $40. Hey, look, as a boxing fan, that's great value. I'm going to watch these guys for, you know, $40, which would cost, it's not even the cost of one of their pay-per-views.
Right.
So that's awesome. And I got to say, as a boxing fan, things that I do like about DAZN are the fact that, man, they give you the entire card. It's usually not, it's just those two off. So if you do want a full night of boxing to watch, which I know the majority of people don't want, but, you know, I'm sure people who listen to our show, they dig that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. That is a cool thing they're doing for the fan base. You know, some things that have been a little bit iffy with it so far have been the streaming quality hasn't been fantastic. Like, they've been in a part where, you know, I've been watching a Bellator event on it and it's gone and skipped back like it's out of nowhere. And you're just like, wait, I walked to get a sandwich and we're in a completely different fight. Like, what happened here? So there's some reliability stuff that's questionable there. But I do. But yeah, to your point, I don't understand how it's going to work out. And it does remind you a little bit of when PBC came out and they're like, "We're bringing boxing back to broadcasting. We got all these great big matchups. It's all gonna pan out." And then it kind of lasted for like 18 months, two mm-hmm. years, and then everybody was kind of basically back on Showtime
because they had money to burn. And obviously, DAZN has money to burn, but there's a model that they're following. So if I'm HBO boxing, and I just said I got out of the boxing business. Now I'm out of the boxing business for 2 years, let's say.
Okay.
Let's say 18 months. And I'm looking to create viewers that come back to HBO for other things that I can promote my new lineup, new shows, new movies. And I look across and I know that I have to go digital. I have to go app. That's where society is going just in general to receive content. And I'm looking around and I see this company called DAZN. I've been in the boxing business. I know how it works. I understand the dynamics of the industry. And DAZN has 10 guys that used to be on, signed to HBO. Plus, they have this whole new roster of guys under contract. So there's legitimate contracts there. There's a commodity. There's value. And there's a database of, let's say, 500,000 people that subscribe to this monthly. Mm-hmm. Wow. I can cut a check, bring boxing back to HBO, and I can have a database of people that I can communicate with sure. digitally already built in from my app. It's a win-win situation.
So you think that it could be something like that back in the day, if down the line, if HBO wanted to get back in boxing, that they could go and almost buy it out?
I believe that could be a very realistic approach.
Got people they're familiar with. They seem to be working with Golden Boy and Eddie Hearn, who they've worked with before. Yeah, I mean,
For example, people investing in it are associated with it.
They just know.
They know they're associated with it. Crazy things happen in boardrooms. You know, shut down HBO boxing. Let's invest in this. Let's build it up. And let's sell it back to our own company. Crazy things happen, brother.
I believe you, man.
Crazy things happen
in
the boardroom.
I know the mechanics of this kind of stuff. Because I look at this and I say, let's just say, for example, Canelo, because I think the rumor was for Anthony Joshua's first fight on DAZN, it got 15,000 viewers live. Anthony Joshua.
Yeah.
And that was a good fight. I mean, I know that he wasn't fighting the guy anybody wants to see in Povetkin, but even still, Povetkin's a name people know. And if you're Anthony Joshua, people want to watch Anthony mm-hmm. Joshua. Especially a free month. That was the thing. They were offering this free October for everybody to tune into. You got a great Bellator card you're going to get into that month. And I think this was even included last night. Which was supposed to be Billy Joe Saunders, but he popped for a test, so he only ended up getting to watch Andrade fight this dude who he beat for the WBO middleweight title. That was vacated by Saunders. But regardless of that, Canelo versus Rocky Fielding for 168, his debut at 168 pounds. Even with Canelo being the star that he is, do you think that's going to translate to people like, oh, Canelo's fighting? He's fighting on DAZN. And I got to do what? I got to subscribe? Like, I wonder if that is going to translate. Just because, yeah, Canelo fighting should sell itself, and it should be big enough. But he's still fighting somebody who's kind of just been out of the picture. Oh, Canelo's not fighting one of the Charlos. He's not in the middleweight title picture anymore. He's not fighting Gennady Golovkin again. He's just fighting a big dude. And I don't know. I think that is going to be interesting. I think it is going to be an interesting test because they have invested a whole lot of money off the bat on him. Seemingly, it's going to be in a guarantee. It's almost double what the Floyd deal was, because I think Floyd's deal with Showtime originally was 6 fights, $30 million a fight. This is 11 fights, $30 million a fight, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to translate to people wanting to pay that kind of money? And from this standpoint, look, if you really look at the dollars and cents of it as a boxing fan, it's cheaper than if you were to subscribe to Showtime for a month, but it's a different mechanic than boxing fans are used to.
So my question to you would be, what's the profile of a boxing fan? Age, profile.
I would think it's more going to be people who are probably in their 40s and above, men. But, I mean, look, it is doing very good numbers with ESPN for young demographics. So I do feel like it is starting to swell.
Well, it is, and that's the market that you're targeting. So anything that's app-based or you're delivering content and your conduit is an app, you're trying to activate a younger audience.
Yeah.
You're looking at, you know, the millennials plus. But there's a threshold where you start to lose eyes. And that threshold happens in the 40s. And if we look at a true boxing fan, so I understand the MMA activation. I understand them engaging Bellator in some way, shape, or form to activate an audience through the app because it's a younger demographic profile.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at boxing as a whole, it's an older demographic profile. So, yes, they're getting eyes. They're getting the younger audience to engage. But now, when you look at the 40-plus, you're going to have fall-off. You're going to have 15,000 people tuning in to watch Anthony Joshua because
right.
It's the younger audience. The older audience, the 40-plus, is not receiving their content. They like to watch it on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to, you know, turn on their smart TV and go onto the internet and log into their app.
Easy as possible.
They want to go to the channel. They're not looking, the majority of the fight fan, the boxing fan that's tuning into the pay-per-view, is not worried about the cost to watch the fight.
The other interesting thing with DAZN is in the other experiments where we've had UFC or boxing use a streaming platform, the UFC had a TV deal so they could promote it. The ESPN Top Rank deal, if you have a fight on ESPN Plus, look, I know that it's going to be on ESPN Plus. They're promoting the hell out of it. It's going to get commercial.
All platforms.
On all their platforms.
In all their shows.
WWE, same thing. If we're going to put them, they have USA. They can promote their digital network. Bellator even. Bellator has television broadcast. So DAZN really does have to find this way to get people to go to that app almost on their own merits. And they have all these great names. But
how's it worked for the UFC?
Not great.
How's it work for WWE?
That I think it's actually worked good.
It's worked good.
It's worked good.
But that's not their only revenue stream.
That's right.
So they have, but you have named all ESPN. You have named every app that's relative to combat sports.
Mm-hmm.
They all have a broadcast presence.
Sure, and where did they put Terrence Crawford last? They didn't put him on Plus. They put him on ESPN last week.
Correct.
And it was a monster for them.
And they need that. They need to have those incremental blasts on broadcast to get the mainstream eyes, to create some excitement, to create that emotional connection and establish that. And now they can transition people systematically over to an app. They don't have a broadcast presence. So the challenge becomes, and that's why I think the only real sense that comes to my mind is that they're creating value over here so that they can ultimately engage a broadcast partner and either merge or be acquired.
When we come back, Dana White has spoken on the Khabib situation and also who he thinks his next opponent's going to be. We'll get to that next.
It's Fighters Fury on AM 790, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back. Fighters Fury here on 790, The Ticket. You got the Aqua and Orange pregame show coming up after us. They'll get you ready for Dolphins and Lions. So, SEMA, we had a couple things come out this week regarding Khabib. And Dana White spoke on the idea. There's been a couple things going on. Floyd Mayweather is now on the train that he wants to fight Khabib. That's the next guy he has in mind. That they want to do a boxing match with him and Nurmagomedov. I think this is just a headline thing. I can't imagine. I know he said this with the McGregor thing, but I just can't see this one. Like, this is...
Does he know that Khabib is not a stand-up fighter?
Yeah, I think so. Like, Floyd's not that big of a... He doesn't have his head in the sand that much. I think he's got to know what Khabib's deal is, but, you know, Nurmagomedov was there with Leonard Ellaby, and he's like, come on, let's go, let's Let's do this, Floyd. Best undefeated record ever fight. And so Floyd's like, all right, you call me out. It's got to be in boxing. And there's just a couple of things with it. Like, we're talking about generations of dollars. I just can't imagine a fight with Khabib is going to do the kind of money that Floyd Mayweather expects for it to do.
It will definitely. I don't think that most MMA fans even are excited about Khabib. They were more excited about Conor winning that fight or seeing Conor fight than they were seeing Khabib fight.
Well, I think what they were excited about with Khabib was I think they liked the fact that he went crazy afterwards. I think they liked the fact that he not only beat Conor, but then went and tried to beat up his team. I think that's what has risen his star. So I definitely agree that his star power has risen. I just don't think it's risen to the level of you think it's going to do record-breaking pay-per-views against Floyd Mayweather. I can't see it. Just because, even with the Conor thing, all right, as crazy as it was, there were people out there that bought into the fact that Conor could win. They still thought, oh, Conor knocks people out. He can knock Floyd out. No one in their right mind thinks that Khabib's going to go in there and knock Floyd out. Even if he did have a moment in the fight where he clipped Conor, no one goes out there and thinks that he's gonna have a shot against Floyd Mayweather. Nobody.
No, I agree.
So, it seems like a fun thing for both of them to go. But this was interesting. So Dana White comes out this week and says that Khabib isn't quitting the UFC, that they've worked it out. But the interesting thing was he said that the next fight he wants to do is Khabib versus Tony. He's not really even thinking about a rematch with Conor, which I was pretty encouraged by hearing because I figured, they're obviously like, once Conor says he wants the rematch, they're going to do the rematch. But the fact that he wants to go and make the fight Khabib versus Tony, first of all, I'm excited for it. I want to see that fight. I know it's been cursed. They've tried it four times. Four times it's fallen away because of injuries or weight cut issues or all that nonsense. But I need to know, as an MMA fan, I need to know which one of these guys is better. I need to. It's a necessity to find out who is the best lightweight on the planet. And obviously, you understand why Conor gets the shot first because of his star power. But that was a very decisive win by Khabib. And so now I need to know who between him and Tony wins that fight. Has to happen.
I agree. I think that's the only sensible option. To have another Conor McGregor fight, I think there's more harm than good that comes from that fight. So it was such a one-sided fight the first time for the most part.
Yeah.
That what gives you the feeling that it's going to change, and if you do make the fight again and Conor loses the same way, I think that his stock drops.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it was a fight that most people didn't expect him to win anyway. He put up a decent fight. There was some excitement around it. He took it like a man, rode off into the sunset, and, whatever happens from here happens from here. You make some exciting fights with some big names, and there you go. If he fights again, I think more harm comes from it.
I think what you need to do is you give him a matchup at 155 with somebody who stylistically just matches up with him better. Give him a fight where he's able to get his striking right. It's going to be a tough matchup because, look, when you're Conor McGregor and you require the kind of payday that he does, it's obviously going to be against a top guy. It's going to be against a guy who's a challenge. But here's what I think you do. I think that you go in there and you make two things happen. You either do the Nate trilogy or you have him fight Poirier. I think those are the way. That's the route you should go.
I think you do the Nate trilogy. Poirier, same thing. To me, he beat Poirier. He beat Poirier, 4 years ago?
At 145, yeah.
Poirier was a different fighter.
Yep.
Poirier doesn't. I think that Conor only fights big names. I'm the promotion, if I'm the UFC, Conor fights people where both guys come to the card with a big following and some notoriety. The Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor fights are not only great the night of the fight, but they're great leading up to it.
Yep.
And both guys have good followings. Connor's following is obviously enormous. Diaz's following is a little cultish.
Right.
But it's a following. Well, more so than Poirier.
I understand. Yeah, Poirier's definitely coming
great
up.
Fighter.
He's a great fighter. He's a great fighter. I know he's injured too. He's dealing with a hip thing. But I just think that it's I think from this standpoint, it would be okay to see Connor just take on a guy where you're just like, all right, look, Connor needs, like, we're just going to see Connor in an entertaining fight. Like, you know, a Poirier fight's going to be entertaining. That's the truth. And if I'm looking at the match, if I'm looking at the landscape at 155 pounds, I guess the only other guy I think, if you're going to just do it by rankings, who deserves to be in there is Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee can also take you down. Kevin Lee can also, you know, go the Khabib route of wrestling him to death. And I just think that you want to avoid that. And Kevin Lee's super charismatic and his star is on the rise, and he's taking on Ally Aquinta in the next towards the end of the year, which is a loss that he wants to avenge. But yeah, I think from Connor's standpoint, what if you did this? What if you put Connor Nate on the same card as Khabib Tony? What if you did that?
That's interesting.
What if you did that?
But what do you make the main event?
You gotta make the title fight the main event.
You got to make the title fight the main event.
But
does that make sense from a commodity standpoint? Your biggest commodity is Conor McGregor.
But what if, okay, so here's what you got to do. You got to see, hopefully, you're obviously, if you're the promotion, you're hoping Conor beats Nate. But then Conor has the platform to then call out whomever in the upcoming event. And
I don't want to see him fight Ferguson. I think Ferguson will destroy him.
I think he will too, but Connor's going to be in the – it's either that or Connor's going to move to like 170 or something like that to fight Woodley, because he's going to be – if he's in that title picture, he's eventually going to have to go through one of those guys.
I think you have him fight like Diego Sanchez or something.
Really? He just goes to boxing. He fights Paulie Malignaggi.
Yeah. Why not? I think you just got to protect the commodity.
Yeah, but I understand, but then what – like, you can't have him fight bums.
No. But that's what I'm saying. The Diaz fight makes sense. Diaz is not a bum.
Yeah, Diaz is not a bum, but then what happens if he beats Diaz? Then what do you do? Go fight Justin Gaethje or something like that?
Anthony Pettis.
Ooh, I actually like that fight.
That's a good fight.
That is a good fight.
But how, Gaethje.
But how long are you going to do those? Because those guys are good fighters.
What do they got? Five-fight deal.
I understand. Those guys are good fighters. But eventually Conor's going to want the title shot. He is Conor McGregor. How long does he have to, how long could you pull off the old, I don't know, Connor, one more. It's got to happen. I know, but, so do you think if he loses to Khabib again, it's just damaging to the legacy? Was that why you're protecting that at that
protecting,
point?
Protecting, like, me as Dana White.
Yes.
I think it somewhat is. I think because you've created this mystique, he's annihilated pretty much everyone he's stepped in the cage with the exception of Diaz, very competitive fights. I mean, Aldo, he took out. Maybe it's a rematch with Aldo.
Oh, no.
No?
Yeah. No, I'm just not into it.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I'm not mostly into that fight because Aldo's still delusional about it. He's just like, yeah, it was just a mysterious punch, he never hit me. Yeah, he never hit me. Like, he just makes it seem like it wasn't his mistake. Like, everything Connor did, it was one of the most spectacular moments in UFC history. Just that, wow, all of his bleep talking worked to perfection, that he caused one of the best fighters in that weight class of all time to actually make that kind of a mistake and goaded him into that.
And Aldo really hasn't been the same since.
No, and Aldo's a little bit washed, man.
Yeah, well, he is.
Aldo's a little bit washed. Seeing Connor beat that Aldo is always going to be such a bigger deal than if he were to do it again. You know, they got Max. Would you want to see him at Max Holloway? I mean, they fought way back in the day.
Yeah. Holloway is a great fighter.
He's a great fighter. He's got a tough fight coming up with Ortega. I don't know if he's going to win that fight, especially with all these health concerns that Max has had. I don't know if he's going to win that fight. But that'd be a big deal. Like, let's say if Ortega does beat Holloway, then maybe Holloway could then make the jump to 155 and fight Connor. And do something like that.
But I'm interested in that fight. I'm actually more interested in the Brian Ortega.
Connor versus Ortega?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a terrible matchup for Connor.
Yeah.
But, look.
But it's a good fight.
But ultimately, look, if you're Conor McGregor and if you're that kind of star, we've said that he's had a lot of bad matchups. People thought, you know, Chad Mendes was a bad matchup. People thought Jose was a bad matchup. You know?
You should do a lottery ticket. Just like give five fighters a ticket and have Conor, like the Conor lottery.
Like
the Conor
NBA?
Lottery. Who wants to be a millionaire? You see him up there right now drinking his whiskey. Who wants to be a millionaire?
Beg him. That's basically what it'll be. Beg me.
Kiss my ring.
Yeah, man. I think that if they truly are gonna go the route of Khabib versus Tony, which I'm pumped about. Which I think Tony's gonna win that fight. You think he's gonna win that fight?
I believe he's gonna win that fight. I've been told I'm crazy for saying that, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
We should all have a little crazy in us.
He has a little bit of crazy in him.
Yeah. That's why I pick him. I think that he's got just enough crazy.
I just don't, the thing with Tony is,
If he can stay healthy,
well, Khabib too. Khabib's pulled out of health reasons for this fight too. But, you know, with everybody that Khabib's beaten, when they get in that takedown position, they don't know. It's like a Rubik's Cube. You can't figure it out. But Tony seems like he's got the keys to unlock anything.
Yeah.
He's just that.
Very awkward. Oh, and long.
Yeah.
Long, so he can do things that other guys can't. Like, he can reach around. He can, you know, fold his legs up around his back.
Always is gashing people open with elbows.
Fold his legs up around his back and kick you in the face.
There's this crazy meme of I think actually Tony put it out, of just, like, all of his opponents' faces after they fight him. And they're all just a horror picture. It's really bad. He causes such damage with those elbows every single matchup that he goes in there with. The only thing you could say with if you are going to go the health thing is just his mobility. I don't know if his mobility looked as good against Anthony Pettis, but that I think
he's
is
6 only, months off tearing
know,
the muscle off his knee.
So you only got to think that's going to get better for him.
I would think.
Finally, your thoughts on Floyd Mayweather putting out the infamous Oscar De La Hoya fishnets photo.
I love it.
Saying 11 years ago, I fought her. Her name was Oscar Golden Girl De La Hoya. Please leave the most disrespectful caption you could think of. Floyd had no.
What a great call to action.
Floyd had no chill on his social media this week. Because, you know, Oscar's coming in. It's like, oh, they're just jealous. They're just jealous of. It's like, yeah, maybe he is jealous. I don't know. But that's still a good burn back.
But I'm so surprised that the fishnet stocking picture is great. Right. And so many people have forgotten about it. It's about time someone brought it back to our memory. But I'm really shocked that maybe he's saving the spooning shot for future use.
I gotta think you get pulled off Instagram if you put in the spoon shot. I don't think that goes under their whatever the hell it is. It's not under their guidelines.
Oscar's backside looking like that spoon holder in your kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. looking like he could whip up all the egg batter.
Ouch!
It's crazy.
Brings a whole new meaning to spooning, huh? You got a new visual in your head now.
Yeah, I do.
Jeez.
By the way, could be our president one day.
Wow.
According to Oscar. From president of Golden Boy to president of America.
That's not happening.
Everybody have a great rest of your day. Aquan Orange pregame show is coming up next. We'll talk to you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.